Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast. I'm your host, Vanessa Walker, and today we're exploring the role of the home in retirement. For most older Australians, the family home is their biggest financial asset, with super coming in at number two. Now, home ownership not only provides emotional security in retirement, it can also be used to help boost your retirement income or contribute to paying expenses such as aged care. At the same time, selling your home can impact your aged pension entitlements. So to walk us through some of the important points before making any decisions, I'd like to welcome back to the show two financial advisors from Telstra Super Financial Planning, Rebecca Shevers and Sophie McRae. Welcome.
Thanks, Vanessa. Great to be here.
Thanks, Vanessa.
So, Sophie, let's start with you. Now, selling the family home and using some of the sale proceeds to top up your super is a popular strategy. Can you tell us more about this and who exactly is eligible?
Absolutely, Vanessa. Many clients with large family homes are interested in selling once the kids have moved out. They can then put some of the proceeds of the sale into their super using what's called downsizer contributions. The good news is that since January 2023, the minimum eligibility age for downsizer contributions has been lowered to age 55. Initially, it was 65, but now people age 55 and older can access this benefit. There's technically no upper age limit, although once you turn 75, super rules prevent voluntary contributions. Importantly, there's no work test, so even retirees can make downsizer contributions.
So can you tell us a little bit more about the downsizer contributions?
Absolutely. You can contribute up to $300,000 from the sale of your home into your super fund. Couples can contribute up to $600,000 combined, provided both are age 55 and over. A key advantage is that downsizer contributions don't count towards your annual non-concessional contribution cap, which is currently $120,000 for most people. However, there are eligibility requirements, such as the timing of the contribution and how long you've owned your home. It's also very important to note that in most cases, the contribution needs to be made within 90 days of property settlement. That's super important. These details are available on the ATO website. Downsizer contributions can be made in addition to your regular super contributions without worrying about exceeding annual caps, though they do count towards your transfer balance cap.
Okay, so some takeaway from there. It's important to note that in most cases, the contribution needs to be made within 90 days of property settlement. Good one. Now, what should people consider before deciding to downsize?
Boosting your super balance at retirement is a significant benefit, as we've been discussing so far, providing more income in retirement. However, of course, selling your family home is not purely financial. It can be emotionally challenging, and there are costs involved, like real estate commissions, moving expenses, and stamp duty. Additionally, the surplus proceeds from the sale are assessed under the assets and income test for the age pension, which could affect your entitlements.
So, Rebecca, can you explain the impact of selling a home on the age pension income and assets test?
Yes, it's an important issue, Vanessa, and one that I encourage my clients to consider very carefully, as the impact to their age pension payments can be quite significant. When you sell your principal home, that is the home that you live in most of the time, the proceeds are generally exempt from the assets test for up to 24 months, especially if you plan to use them to buy, build, or renovate a new principal home. However, these proceeds are deemed under the income test, which means they are assessed as income from financial assets. This could possibly reduce or even eliminate your entitlement to the age pension, the Commonwealth Seniors Healthcare Card, or other government pensions. And as mentioned, after 24 months, the surplus proceeds, that is the money that you have left over after you've either purchased, built, or renovated your new home, are also assessed under the assets test.
So what about couples where one partner is retired and receiving a government pension, but the other is still working? Are there specific strategies for them?
Yes, they are. One effective strategy is to use the proceeds from selling the home to top up the super of the working partner who is under age pension eligibility age. This can be done with a downsizer contribution made by the working partner, who can also use the bring forward rule. This rule allows you to bring forward up to 3 years' worth of non-concessional contribution limits or contributions, depending on their age, obviously, and their existing super balance. And by doing this, they can make a one-off contribution of $360,000. In this way, the working partner could increase their super balance by as much as $660,000 in 1 year. And this provides more options for the couples and potentially leaves the retired partner's government pension unaffected. I've seen clients use this successfully, this type of strategy, to balance their financial needs and maintain their pension entitlements.
The benefits of having a younger spouse, perhaps. That's a great strategy. What about the home equity access schemes, including reverse mortgages? Sophie, can you tell us how they might benefit home-owning retirees?
Of course, Vanessa. A reverse mortgage allows homeowners, subject to an age-based criteria, to borrow against the equity in their home without making monthly loan repayments. The loan is repaid once the homeowner either sells the home, moves out permanently, or passes away. This provides access to cash without needing to sell the home. However, interest accrues on the loan, which can reduce the equity left for beneficiaries. Homeowners must also keep up with property taxes, insurances, and maintenance, and there are fees associated with setting up the reverse mortgage. Additionally, the interest rates are generally higher than standard home loan rates due to the deferred repayment structure. For those who are age pension age or older, which is currently age 67, the federal government's home equity access scheme may provide a more attractive option if you meet the eligibility criteria. This scheme provides a loan secured against your home, and you can choose to receive the loan amount as a fortnightly payment, a lump sum, or combination of both. The scheme has a no negative equity guarantee, which ensures you won't owe more than the value of your home when it's sold. The loan can be used for various purposes, such as covering living expenses, medical costs, or funding home improvements.
So it's effectively a loan from the government rather than a bank?
Yes, exactly. It's also worth noting that some retirees, after paying off their home mortgage, like to retain access to the equity secured against the property using facilities such as a home equity line of credit offered by some banks. This could provide flexibility to access funds for various purposes such as renovations, home deposits when downsizing, or weddings for the children.
Now, Rebecca, let's dive deeper into how the family home can be used when a retiree needs to move into aged care.
When a retiree needs to transition into aged care, the family home can be a crucial asset. It can be sold to cover aged care accommodation costs, or it can be rented out to generate income for these expenses. Now, if a spouse or a financial dependent, such as a child, continues to live in the home, its value is exempt from the assets test for the age pension. Selling the home provides a significant source of funds for aged care, but it's obviously an emotional decision and can impact on the family members who are still living there. Renting out the home offers ongoing income, but comes also with responsibilities and potential risks, such as finding reliable tenants and maintaining the property. Additionally, the rental income is assessed under the income test for Centrelink purposes, which again could affect age pension entitlements. In saying that, age pension eligibility is not the only consideration when moving into an aged care facility. It really is just such a complex area. And as a result of that, I would always recommend considering special aged care advice, which many advice licensees related to a super fund, including Telstra Super, offer as a separate service to ensure you are making the most informed and best decision for your individual situation.
Thanks so much, Rebecca and Sophie. It's clear that whether you sell, rent out, or even borrow against your family home, it certainly plays an important role in retirement. Thanks both so much for sharing your insights and also dealing with the emotional, not just the financial aspects of this issue. Now, if listeners want some more tips on the role of the home in retirement, please visit the Telstra Super website. That's all we have time for on this episode of Friends with Money. Enjoy your day.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.